We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Howdy, or what's left of him anyway. How are you doing? So glad you're here. Love to hear from you, too. As always, love to hear from you on the Ingalls Advantage talk line, and that is 800-347-1063. And then there is the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, which is 71307, to which we will now repair. I have been so naughty, I've not gotten to these texts for so long. So, there's some very interesting ones, too, here. This has all the marks of a worldwide deep state masterminded false flag plot, similar to the engineered Port Arthur massacre that cost Australians their guns. And I think that's an interesting point. If any far-right lunatic is motivated to commit a terrorist act because they believe Trump is a racist, white supremacist, it is therefore the left's position to go after him daily, and that is what we will see. And this is a good question. So, happy Friday, Tony. You're doing a great job. Personal question, what hill are you prepared to die on? If a SWAT team shows up at your door demanding your guns, will you die before turning them over? And I believe most people would say that they are not willing to die for that, which means the government most certainly can take our guns anytime they want to. Fair tax, Jerry. Well, obviously, this event that took place in New Zealand is going to be the latest that they will use to try to get us to give up our guns. You know it as well as I do. And they're blaming Donald Trump for this. But I think it's pretty interesting. In fact, I'm going to share some of this with you. If you dig into this guy's manifesto, which he had, it's pretty darn interesting. One of the things that he said is that he hopes for a civil war, but that conservatism is dead in the United States. So here's what you won't probably be hearing. This is from Breitbart. I'm sharing some of this. So the shooter describes himself as a socialist who supports environmentalism, workers' rights, and responsible markets. Well, now, that does not sound like a right-wing radical now, does it? Which, of course, is how he's being painted. So on the one hand, this guy's manifesto is presenting the political left as the enemy. Then he turns around and disparages conservatism and says he doesn't identify with that. So there are some points that this guy made in his manifesto that are worth examining. He states that it is his intention to spark a civil war in the United States by triggering crackdowns on the Second Amendment. Is that not what we've just been talking about? And in his list of motivations, he spends most of the time discussing this goal of causing a civil war, because he believes ultimately it will lead to a what he calls a fracturing of the United States along cultural and racial lines. And then he describes his attack by saying that it will create conflict between two ideologies within the United States on the ownership of firearms in order to further the social, cultural, political, and racial divide within the United States. So this guy is telling us he's purposefully using this to create even more of division between us and give more impetus to seizing the weapons. He goes on to say, the shooter, this conflict over the Second Amendment and the attempted removal of firearm rights will eventually result in a civil war that will balkanize the United States along political, cultural, and most importantly, racial lines. And then the shooter predicts that his attack will lead to, quote, calls for the removal of gun rights from whites in the United States. And that is the plan all along. And he finishes with this. With enough pressure, the left wing with the U.S. in the U.S. will seek to abolish the Second Amendment, and the right wing within the U.S. will see that as an attack on their very freedom and liberty, which will lead to dramatic polarization of the people, fracturing along cultural and racial lines, and eventually a civil war. Now, I frankly have been saying that this is a possibility for a long time. What's different here is we have an event that is acting as the catalyst to perhaps lead us down that road. And so I never answered the fellow's question about what would happen if they came to my door. What would I do? And the fact is, I've thought about this. Anybody that believes in all of this stuff we're talking about had better be thinking about it, because that's frankly where it may end up. So I'm prepared to defend my home and my property and my family against whomever. And if, God forbid, it were the people coming to take my weapons, I'm afraid it would have to go down like that. I wouldn't do it. What kind of a country would we be? We wouldn't even be here if our founding fathers hadn't risked life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness with their very lives against the British. You tell me what's the difference. The new British isn't King George. It's the deep state. And it's worldwide. And it is working here in this country to try to gain control. Now, you've got obviously different schools of thought going on in Washington, but I just pray it doesn't come to that. I will say this, and this is encouraging. Somebody actually wrote this. Tony, I love it when you fill in, but you depress me with all the doom and gloom. Look, I actually do understand this, but you have to realize that this program and talk radio in general is doing nothing more than discussing events as they occur and what is going on behind the scenes of all of these events. And I think one of the ways that we arrived where we are is through complacency. In fact, I would even share this with you. I mentioned this book, The Fourth Turning, earlier. So the hallmarks of the first turning are the World War II, the greatest generation. That's a first turning generation. The second bunch that came along were the baby boomers and us, and that is where things began to go south. And finally, we hit the third, where by this point we've hit complacency. And the last is when things fall apart, which is where we are on now, treading into this fourth turning. Complacency is dangerous. One of the ways that we have arrived where we are is it's the old story about boiling a frog by pitching him into boiling water or doing it slowly. And that it's a great analogy, because it's exactly right. We've been boiled slowly. And at some point, some of us have awakened and hopped out of the pot and saying, this can't go on. So anyway, a quick break coming up. I note, I promise I'm going to come back and continue. I've gotten behind with all these fabulous texts. I'm going to come back and do some of those, and also throw out some other ideas for you to consider. Tony Dalen for Bobby Mack. Having a ball, too. Stick around. Howdy. Welcome back. As promised, before I have some interesting things to get to, and I'm going to get to these texts in a moment, but the optics I am watching, in the studio, the Fox News is up. Of course, the volume is down, but here's President Trump, who's just signed the veto on this emergency thing that was defeated in the border bill. And he's got all of these sheriffs standing around him, several of them wearing Stetsons, like a couple of good old boys from Texas there. But and the reasons of interest, The Daily Mail, London paper, had an interesting article today, and it ties into just what we're talking about here, of how they're going to try to paint and Trump and all of his supporters, as Hillary did when they were talking about, you know, these angry people with their guns and their Bibles and their religion and all of that. So the headline in the Daily Mail reads, "Trump issues ominous warning during an interview that he has the support of the police, the military, and, quote, bikers for Trump who are tough people that will stay calm to a certain point, but then it might get very bad." So this is being portrayed as a threat. They ran the story on CNN. It was hilarious. And, of course, they had the typical leftist talking here saying, well, this is just an obvious threat to us, and he's issuing a warning. And okay. So here's what Trump actually said. And at the moment, as I'm sitting and looking at all of these law enforcement officers here in his office, and in light of the fact we've been discussing the Second Amendment, I want to give you hope, because somebody said earlier, you know, they get depressed sometimes when I'm on here because of all of the bad news. I do want to give you the other side of this coin. So, but let me set it up properly, first of all. So Trump, in this interview, said the left plays a tougher game. The interview was on Breitbart. "I actually think that the people on the right are tougher, but they don't play it tougher. But I can tell you that I have the support of the police, the support of the military, the support of bikers for Trump. I have the toughest people, but they don't play tough until they are pushed to a certain point, and then it may be very, very bad." Well, here are the numbers. Trump has very strong support among military veterans. Latest poll, 56%. Police Magazine did a poll and found that 84% of working police officers support Trump. Now, here's why this matters. Most of the people in the room in the Oval Office right now are sheriffs. They may all be sheriffs. I can't tell because of the shot's kind of too far away to read all of their patches, but it looks like they probably are. Sheriffs are elected. Sheriffs have the power to disregard laws, federal laws, that they aren't elected to uphold. And it's happening right now in Colorado as an example of this. There are states there are counties in Colorado that the city council has passed these ordinances that say we're a sanctuary city for firearms, where you can't have firearms. So they're trying to abrogate the Second Amendment in Colorado. And the sheriffs in, I want to say 16 counties, I believe that's right, but a number of counties in Colorado said, au contraire, we are not going to be seizing anybody's weapons. And I have friends in law enforcement, and we've had these conversations before. Somebody had asked on the text line a little earlier, you know, what would happen if they came and tried to take my guns. I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think it will happen because you have too many people like these sheriffs that are standing around Donald Trump at the moment who would not go for it. Now, that does not mean that you perhaps might not see the National Guard being sent out. And then what would happen if you had the local sheriff saying, well, no, you can't do that? And that is a whole other can of worms. But it leads to a larger point, and I'll get to it in a moment. But let me kind of get to some of the text on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Oh, this is funny. Tony, just to go off target, we need to start calling Beto O'Rourke by a more appropriate name. Beta. He is a beta male, trying to, as opposed to an alpha male. I love it. That's funny. Tony, just wait. I think they are marching all of these extremists out to get the attention off of Trump, and then they will bring out a real candidate. He's talking about the Democrats, that will be more moderate, and therefore all the Dems will get behind that person. Well, we could see. By a civil war, asks the texter here, do you mean another race war? That's what the first one was. And the phrase is, thank you. The phrase is never let a good crisis go to waste, Rahm Emanuel. Yes, thank you for that. I couldn't remember. And this is so true. Envy was once called a deadly sin. Well, it has been rehabilitated into a virtue under the new name of social justice. That is a brilliantly stated truth. Under social justice, I have thought exactly that same thought. It is absolutely the case. But you think about this. Envy has been the main tool with which great populations have been manipulated for, well, for a long time. It's about far back as you want to go, but more recent history, I would give you Lenin and the Bolsheviks and that revolution. That's what they used, envy, the proletariat against the super wealthy. In fact, all of these revolutions, if you want to go keep going back, you will find at some point when the disparity between wealth becomes so extreme, which sadly is kind of where we are right now. In other words, we have the top 10%, really, I would argue the top 0.1% that owns just an absolutely astonishing amount of wealth, whereas the average American's wages have remained pretty stagnant up until Trump came into office. In fact, they've been slowly declining. But that wedge issue of envy is a powerful tool. Think of this, advertising. I mean, how are we sold so many products today? They got it. You don't. They got something better than you. You need envy. It's used all the time in public relations and in advertising. Well, it's now being used, and that is arguably the main tool that is being used by the Democrats. To do what? To try to get us to accept that the government should be the new God. That's what it is. I mean, when you really want to distill this down, the people on the far left look at government as God. People who are of faith look at God as God. And I'd even ask you a different question. In fact, since we're coming up here shortly in the news, I'll leave you with this. Now, tell me what you think. I'd like to hear your opinion. Are we any longer an American people? Or are there just a whole bunch of different peoples living in America now? And if that's the case now, what made it be on the day that Trump vetoes this emergency border bill? What might it be if it is allowed to continue with the illegal immigration in this country? At what point is some person going to stand up and do a similar type of thing here and say, no mas? I don't know. But it's something worth thinking about. And I would like to know what you do think about it. So give me a ring on the other side of the news and let me know what you think. Or if you want to, you can text either way. But right now, the lovely Annie Robart has some news and info for us. So we will just check in with her. I'm Tony Dale sitting in for Bobby Mack. We'll be back after this. Howdy. Welcome back. Love to hear what you have to say today. And I want to start this little segment going to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, because somebody wrote this, and it's a good jumping off point to something I want to share with you. Recall when elected officials were elected to represent all of us. Now, women represent women, blacks represent blacks. Any representing white males are automatically racist. So, united we stood, divided we have fallen. And this ties into it, a different texture. Tony, we can't rely on the Republican Party to protect this country. They are just as responsible as these socialist Democrats. If there is a movie, or if there's a move, rather, for firearms, then it falls not on those alone, but also, I'm sorry, this thing jumped. Who swore an oath to stand for freedom. So I want to share some thoughts And by the way, Chris and Anderson, hang in there because I'll take your call right after I share this. And it probably ties in possibly to what you're talking about too. Okay, so somebody had made the question about the deep state, if you will, both sides. And I would agree. And Keith and Greg Jarrett, rather, was interviewed by Breitbart recently and also on Fox News. And he said, deep state proves that Americans should be afraid of their government. In the interview, he said that political and partisan corruption at the Department of Justice and FBI prove that Americans should be afraid. And the narrative of collusion between Donald Trump and the Russian state was manufactured by the swamp. And there's nothing in Washington, here's kind of the point he wants to make, that will motivate you more than the threat of losing power. And that is why they have cleared Hillary Clinton in this scheme and sought to frame Donald Trump. And the overarching point he's trying to make is this, quote, deep state is a combination of big corporate America who has funded the Republicans and Democrats alike. They have always been for illegal immigration because their overarching need is for cheap labor. That's the biggest cost in business is labor. And they've gotten it. That's why we've seen our own incomes going down for a while. And Donald Trump's come along and he's thrown a spanner in the works with these folks. And they are not happy. So people like our own Lindsey Graham and people like Tom Tillis in my state, in North Carolina, who's a complete numbskull, all of these people are being controlled, just as the Justice Democrats who auditioned and got AOC elected are the ones pulling the string on what she does. All of this is proof that we are currently really not in a representative republic any longer, since the only people being represented are special interest groups and big business and bureaucracies. That's just a fact. And the greater question is, how can we take it back? I mean, I look back at just a few years ago when the Tea Party movement started, and that was a breath of fresh air because that was the direction it was taking us. Well, we sort of stalled out, and I guess my question for you, and be interested to know what you have to say, is, okay, where do we go from here? In the meantime, I know where I'm going. I'm going all the way to Anderson and talk to Chris. How are you doing, Chris?
Hey, I was doing pretty good. I just had a quick thing with Trump and this whole situation with the mass shooting. I think the best thing Trump can do is take a page out of Obama's book. When Obama first got elected, he walked around the city of Chicago with his wife, quote unquote, and celebrated his win and celebrated his ideals. I think what Trump needs to do at this point is to make a very public event where he goes and brings people, not just Caucasian males, because let's face it, that's what the jihadists and what these other people are saying. They're saying they're against white males owning guns in America. What he needs to do is have an open event and say, you know, theme it as an American event and let it be where people can come out in public and talk about the issue and discuss the Second Amendment openly and without ridicule. Make it an open carry event. Have as many of those sheriffs from those states who support him be there to openly prove they're not there to take guns and to prove they're there to keep the event safe like everyone should be, and show people live on TV that he is who he is, and these are the facts concerning the Second Amendment, and that is the very reason why he is defending it, is to show that you can be white, you can be black, you can be male or female or whatever your background is, and be a responsible member of society. And back to your earlier question, asking about what the next step is. I'm 29 years old, and I'm getting ready to graduate with my first degree in college. I, next week, am going to the state capitol to watch legislation being written, and I'm doing so by the invitation of my 9th district representative in the House of Representatives. So I'm going the whole day. I'm taking time off work and school to do this. And I'm doing it to show that I have concern for not only myself, but my community. and my state and my country.
Wow.
And I've told everybody about it. And I'm going to physically see myself firsthand what they're doing. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to bring topics of things I would like to have discussed if I get the opportunity. And I'm going to take notes on who I talk to and what they're pushing that day. That way, when it comes time to vote, or when someone asks me for an informed opinion, I have it. So that's what I got to say about it, Mike. I think he needs to take out a playbook out of Obama's playbook and do something very public and open and tell the media, bring your cameras and bring your people. Hey, let that bozo from CNN be there. Let him record it. Let him walk up and see all the people and physically force him to record it. Physically force him to record the event as it's happening. And you know what? Then let the chips fall where they may.
Well, here's where they'll fall. First, I want to compliment you on your willingness to be that engaged in the process of politics, particularly at the state and local level, because I think in the end, that's probably the only hope we have is taking it back from the bottom up. But the downside, and I understand why you say what you say, so let me start with that. Well, I would first of all point out that in essence, all of these town hall meetings that Trump has all over the place, the crowds that show up are not all white. There are a lot of different people in those crowds, and many of them are people who have concealed carry permits and are for all of this. And he talks openly when he talks about this. But you'll note that it doesn't matter what he says. They only pick the things that make him look bad. And if the optics of a bunch of armed people, and they would only I used to work in television news, so I know how this works. The only thing you would see on television is pictures of the most unattractive people in the crowd they could find that have weapons, the ones that look like they might go shoot up a mosque, and they will play that one for all it's worth. On paper, that sounds like a really good idea. But understand who you're dealing with here. You know, they always say, always know your enemy. Well, your enemy is the press. The mainstream press has become the enemy of our own country. I'm not overstating it. And so you have to consider the way that they would deal with that. But anyway, I do appreciate your call. Appreciate your call very much. I'm a little bit over time. Okay, so a quick break. Back with more right after this. Life in the fast lane. Yes, I'm sure that at the moment on a Friday afternoon, that describes many of you, does it not? All right. If you'd like to be part of all of this, love to hear from you at the Ingalls Advantage. Talk line 800-347-1063. Or, of course, there is the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. At the moment on that text line, a couple of interesting texts. I agree with the last caller. However, the Secret Service would never allow our president to be present at such an event if folks were allowed to carry. I thought this, the same thing. Neglected to say, but that's a good point. It's pretty good. And it's so true. Tony, it's not Beto. It's Bobby O'Rourke, a name as Anglo as he really is. It's Irish. I'm sure he will be celebrating St. Paddy's Day this weekend. And this is a good point. I have to tell you, I love listening to Tara in the morning. I do. Tony, why is it that Tara can read very informative articles like AOC's Casting Call and others, but they never show up on Sean, Laura, or Tucker until maybe weeks later, or certainly not on Fox News? We should at least hear it on there from these supposed wise ones. And I don't know whether this is true or not. Maybe somebody can tell me. I'm going to read it anyway. Hey, Tony, did you hear about the conversation between Trump and Pelosi earlier? She asked him how he sleeps at night, and he said, naked with a supermodel. I don't know whether that's true or not. I hope it is, because that's pretty funny. But it sounds like something that he would say. Look, they hate the guy. They, meaning Washington, and they, meaning the most of the Republicans, the old line Republicans, like the 12 that voted with the Democrats, with the exception of Rand Paul. What is Rand Paul thinking? Rand Paul lost me on that one. But Tara, speaking of Tara, was talking about this morning, and I thought it was because frequently these are different audiences, and you may not have heard any of this, but I think this is pretty profound, and it ties in to everything kind of that we're talking about here today. This is from Breitbart. Former New York City Police Commissioner Bernie Kerik, told Breitbart that the FBI agents that he knows are scared to death to criticize the political corruption and abuses of power in the FBI. This is what he said. Not one of these people has been brought up on criminal charges. McCabe was terminated, Comey fired, Page is gone. At the end of the day, there are Americans all over this country that would be sitting in prison right now if they had made the same decisions, if they had violated the law that the way these people did. And the former police chief of New York City, one of the most respected law officials in the country, said this of the criminal justice system. There is a two-tier system of criminal justice in this country, one for normal people and one for them. And they can do anything they want. They are basically above the law because they violated the law, the ethics rules. They violated Department of Justice and the FBI policy. Nothing has happened to them until the Attorney General takes some real action, one in which he holds them accountable and then goes back to look at Hillary Clinton and the entire debacle and breach of security with emails and destruction of evidence and obstruction of justice and conspiracy. Until they go back and investigate and prosecute those crimes, there is not an American in this country that will ever believe the FBI or the Justice Department again. So recall we were talking earlier about local law enforcement as opposed to the federal guys and the Sheriff's Department who were in the Oval Office today when the president vetoed the border funding law bill that they turned down. Vetoed their vote, and by the way, would take a two-thirds majority to undo that from both sides, both houses, so I don't foresee that happening. But either you have a nation of laws or you don't, and this kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier. When we get to a point that we perceive that only the people in the 10%, only the people who are connected can get away with stuff. And if you're not part of that in crowd, then you're going to suffer an entirely different fate for doing the same or even a lesser thing. That's kind of where we've arrived. Well, hey, look, another hour down, two more to go. I hope you will stick around and play. I'm Tony Dale, sitting in for Bobby Mack. Be back after the news.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.